Down the middle, scores! First career goal, Austin Wagner. Here's Loft looking for his first, scores! Matt Loft, first NHL goal, and the Kings have the lead. What's Loft got to do with it?
Welcome back to Crayon Conversations Part 2. We pick up where we left off with me asking James if he hates fun. Enjoy the rest of our podcast and thanks for listening.
Do you just hate fun?
You know what? I do. If there's one thing everyone knows about me, it is how straightforward, buttoned up I am at all times.
Most serious person I know.
Yes, clearly. Yes, for sure.
Clearly. gosh. Is the Edmonton Oilers, like, any different than, like, their anniversary jersey from a few years ago?
It looks like
not
a hoodie.
Not really. They're another team that I feel like just didn't really try very hard.
I think they went back to the older, like, the 80s colors. Like shades of orange and blue. Like, I kind of like that. I'm really glad they didn't go back to the oil drop of the Dustin Penner years.
Hey. That is Stanley Cup champion Dustin Penner to you, man.
Three times. Who knows how many times he took Ambien and then stayed awake on it in a flight.
Oh, good old pancakes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Never
no.
forget. Sarah, you know that story, right?
I do.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now let's all go talk about his politics.
James, I will kick you off this podcast. Oh, no.
Fun fact.
Away from Dustin Penner.
I have one Dustin Penner anecdote, and it's the fact that he has the Jewels from the Crown Twitter blocked. And I only found that out whenever I would be logged into the Jewels from the Crown Twitter account and, like, people would be dunking on him for some stupid thing that he said. And I wouldn't be able to see any of the tweets because he blocked us.
I think one of your predecessors, it wasn't Eric, but it was somebody who worked with Eric. I think they were running the Twitter account and they were constantly making fun of him.
Well, he deserves it.
Yeah, definitely does.
I shouldn't talk more about Dustin Penner. That's what I should not do.
Speaking of mailing it in, Nashville, they didn't even try.
Like, I mean, literally.
I got what they were going for. They just don't have a ton of history or any good jerseys.
What were they going for? I don't.
They went for
the
Joel Ward era third jersey, where it was like the grayish silver everywhere, and then like the V of the mustard on the sleeves, and they just swapped it. Do I need to send you a picture of that one?
I see it. It's ugly.
Yeah.
Why would you harken back to this?
At least they didn't try to bring back that, like, terrifying, drawn by a person, like, having hallucinations logo they tried to have once. Like,
that would have been actually
that was actually designed by the meth bear.
Actually, they used to have this terrifying blow-up animatronic saber-tooth wild logo thingy. Like, that would float around the Bridgestone Arena and apparently children.
Yeah, I went to a game there in 2009. like, I think it had just become 2010. So it was the 09-10 season. And it was a game between them and the Hurricanes. And both teams were so mediocre. And there was like 8 people in Bridgestone Arena. There was cockroaches on the floor out of our seats.
Oh, no.
True story. And that thing comes down from the ceiling. And those like other 8 people in the arena lost their freaking minds. And like, that was one of the coolest things, was then like learning, like, the fans in Nashville who are fans are very big fans. And it's nice that they get their duo across the league now, because like every time they announce like who the starting player for the Hurricanes that night, you'd just be like, ah, it's center, you know, Eric Staal, he sucks. You know, like, it was fun. And I they just don't have good jerseys. They don't have a long run of stuff. So I get it. I get why this jersey is what it is. Like, there's only so much you can do with something that is supposed to be a retro jersey.
All right, that's fair.
Now, Philly, though, like, that is confusing, because you just ruined the best shade of orange in professional sports. And for what? Ugh.
I mean, they had so much potential with Bernie Parent, and they just did nothing. I understand that they haven't changed their actual logo in 50 years, but like,
I'm fine with it. Keep the logo.
Yeah.
Have a better rest of it just, jersey design.
I don't understand what they were doing with the black and then the orange and then the... You know who I'm most disappointed in? The Blues. They could have brought back those trumpets, or, well, I don't know if they're trumpets. They could have brought back those horns. Oh, Music City. Well, it's not Music City, but it's the gateway to the Midwest, and they're supposed to be known for their jazz and stuff. So, but instead they went with their current logo and that weird 80s jersey.
90s. Gretzky 90s. Wore that jersey.
It's, for the short time he was terrible. A Blue.
You know, after he was traded from the Kings, because that's all we do is fetishize Gretzky's time with the Kings.
But we overlook the fact that he was traded away.
Yeah, to be fair, the window had closed on that team anyways.
True.
He wasn't the first one traded away. But, I mean, that's how Luc Robitaille ended up in sudden death. That one's for you, Sarah.
I love it. I love it.
Yeah.
Thanks, Kings.
You know, they picked a bad jersey to throw back to, and they reversed the color scheme, and it doesn't work in any way. Like, you know, at least the Kings didn't do the Burger King jersey and try to reanimate that thing.
But I love the Burger King jersey. It's so ugly, it's great.
I like it, but like as a one-off. Like if they wear it for one game, like, and like I definitely like that jersey in a like so bad it's good kind of way, but if they tried to make that like, cuz I feel like these jerseys are going to be worn a significant amount of time this season, whenever it happens. And so I feel like it would be like an oversaturation of the Burger King jersey, and then I'd go back to being annoyed by it.
Yes,
but
absolutely.
Like, if they do it for like one night, I think that would be really cool.
Yeah, well, Ontario did that 2 years ago, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And that was
also
fun.
Manchester.
They did do that, yeah.
And the Monarchs auctioned off their jerseys. I bid on like 3 of them, and I won all 3 bids. But here's the funnest fact, because I'm stupid, I ended up with no jerseys.
Wow. I
So, okay, here's what it is. I for some dumb reason, I had my eBay account set up to go to my old college dorm, and they did the Monarchs jerseys like, I don't know, two or three years after I had graduated from college, and I didn't bother checking after I won the bid. Yeah, so I think it was about 3 years, because it was when Lyndon Vay was with the team. So I didn't bother checking to see that the address was correct, and there was no forwarding address for the place where I had sent it to. So I'm like, well, I'm out a couple $100, and there's a lesson for you kids. When you've been on eBay, make sure your address is up to date.
Oh man, I feel happy with the amount of time we did not discuss the Jets jersey, because it's just so bad.
It's very
forgettable. Can we talk about how bad the Sharks jersey is, though?
It's like, not great.
I'm indifferent to it. Like,
no, but yeah, okay, like the Hurricanes don't have anything to harken back to except for the Whalers, and neither do the Sharks. The Sharks have largely kept the same logo and color scheme over the last, what are they, almost 30 years old? God, I'm old. Yeah. I'm old!
Aren't we all?
But they could have done something with the Golden Seals. Why didn't you go with the Golden Seals? There's so much nostalgia around the Golden Seals. Embrace your nostalgic history, people.
I mean, they could have just done a jersey with Joe Thornton's face.
Oh my gosh.
And then they would wear it whenever they played the Leafs.
Ah!
I'm trying to manifest the universe that I want.
They also they needed to be like Patty Marlowe looking at Joe Thornton on the jersey.
Here is my pitch. You have kind of like, it's almost a scene, almost a painting, a still life, if you will, of, you see like hats have already, no one's wearing hats because they've already thrown them onto the ice. And then you realize, like, in that Joe Thornton has just scored his fourth goal of the game. And from his back, you just see a shark come out from what would be the front side of him. This is, of course, a callback to a very famous Joe Thornton quote, which, by the way, Toronto media, I know you're listening, same way Tyler Toffoli's listening. Prepare to see so much of Joe Thornton. That man is absolutely opposed to pants or covering himself when there's media around. I have seen that man so much. I never saw Patrick Marleau not in a suit, and I never saw Joe Thornton in anything. Oh gosh. Yeah. Joe Thornton is weird. He's a strange man, and he's very good at hockey. But yeah, the thing is, the shark would have been his wiener in my jersey pitch.
Oh my God.
Thank you for clarifying that. I just wasn't totally sure where you're trying to go with it. I need someone to draw this immediately.
This is an image that I cannot get out of my head now.
I mean, hey, he's the one who said it all those years ago.
He started it.
Yeah, he started it. I'm cracking myself up over this. I'm sorry.
All right. Well, I think we've hit pretty much all 31 teams.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
No. Yeah.
With confidence. I'm sure there's one we forgot because it was so mediocre that just like none of us could remember it.
Ottawa.
I always forget about Ottawa. With literally everything, I always forget about Ottawa.
Yeah, it's red and it's 2D. Great, moving on.
Yeah.
Yeah, done.
Oh, gosh.
It's fine. Again,
I'm sorry for having ruined this podcast for you guys.
I mean, you remembered Ottawa. We sure didn't.
I was like, oh, I know I'm God. Missing something in the middle of the alphabet. I just can't remember. Ottawa. That's because it's so unmemorable.
Yeah.
It's well, it's just like the team.
Yeah.
Oh, speaking of Ottawa, there is a loss. I think it was there was something that came out recently about them. It was an old veteran. From Rick Vive? I don't know how to say his name. Forgive me for butchering his name, people. Here's the excerpt that I found. Before a relatively early retirement at the age of 33, he tried one last kick at the can to join the expansion Ottawa Senators since he was born in Ottawa and thought he could be the local veteran. But the team management was so dysfunctional, they forgot to ever call him back. So he instead filed his retirement papers, assuming they didn't want him.
That's the most Ottawa story I've ever heard.
So their jersey is very much like that story. It's, crap, let's throw something together real quick.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's the kid who's waiting until, like, an hour before class to finish their project that took 6 months to do.
This is them scribbling on their homework while it's being passed up front by everyone else. Like, they've got everyone behind them in class is, like, tucked under their arm as they continue to scribble. And then just, like, shove it forward into the other kid's hands in front of them. Like, oh, yeah, that it sucks. It's forgettable. it's Ottawa.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Ottawa.
I feel like that's their tourism. Oh, no. It sucks. It's forgettable. It's Ottawa.
I did a thing on my podcast last season where I challenged other podcast hosts to name as many Ottawa Senators as they could, and it was enlightening how few people could name. It was amazing because everyone was just like, I don't know who's on this team. They're just so forgettable.
They really are. Like, I mean, obviously, you know, they're tanking to rebuild, but yeah,
I don't know. I don't know what's going on with the hockey team in Ottawa.
Neither do they.
Nothing about them makes sense.
Yeah, that's the way they like it. Keep you guessing. And then next year they'll go to the Eastern Conference Finals. And then right back to the bottom of the standings.
Oh.
But as long as Eugene Melnyk can make a little money.
Yep. And just torture fans. He sits.
Serious question. Is the hockey team, the Ottawa Senators, actually turning a profit? I want to know. I'm so curious.
I think it's the real estate tied to the team that's turning a profit, because he's got a big development that he's building near the arena.
Yeah, but I thought that was tied up in court.
I'm sure it is, or was, or...
Or delinquent payments or something. Something about his real estate development with Sketch or something, and like...
You don't say.
That's what I heard like a year or two ago. I haven't kept up with it, but all I know is that his development project got off to a real rocky start.
He's the Frank McCourt of the NHL.
Do not say that name.
Like, remember, like, just for Dodger fans listening, when we can go back to Dodger Stadium one day. If you go visit all those cool new things that they built behind center field, I believe that goes to Frank McCourt because he owns the parking lot and it's built on the parking lot.
Dad, I hate that he's getting money.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It sucks. Frank McCourt can eat dog shit for the rest of his life. Sorry, I just gave us the explicit tag again.
James, this was a clean podcast.
Can you bleep it?
Now I have to mark it unclean.
I can bleep it. I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. It's fine. Don't worry about it. I'll just mark it as NSFW.
Who at work is playing this on speakers in an office?
Well, you know, people work from home, so maybe they're on like a conference Zoom call and they forget to mute their podcast, and there comes James saying dog shit. So thanks a lot.
Oh, Jeffrey Tobin wished that's what happened. Okay.
Anyway, back to evil Frank McCourt.
Well, evil Eugene Melnick. Yeah.
He really is the Frank McCourt of the NHL. It's so sad.
It's a shame nobody has been able to wrestle the control of that team away from him. Because I'm sure the NHL wants someone else to take over. And I don't even know if Eugene Melnick wants to be the owner of that team so much as he just wants money and power over people.
Sounds right.
That sounds familiar.
Yeah.
Can't place it, but... Yeah, anyway.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
So, NHL news, moving on from Ottawa, they're still trying to do a January 1st start date, but there was something that came out that Elliot Friedman was reporting on, and basically the players, or the NHLPA and the owners, or I guess the league, they agreed to ratify the CBA, the new CBA. A year early. So it's like, oh, great news. But now the NHL has come back to the players and they're like, hey, I know we said what we said last year, but like, we don't really want to pay you actually any money this year. And then we want to actually raise your escrow in years 4 through 6 of this new CBA. So I don't know if we're going to still get that January 1 start date, but Elliot Friedman was like, the players are stunned when they heard this news, or when they were, he said there were audible gasps on the conference call.
Yeah, I can definitely see that. I mean, this is just such a Gary Bettman move. Where everyone feels confident, everyone's happy, and then Bettman realizes, wait a minute, how am I not exerting my power over others?
I mean, to be fair, it's not entirely his fault. It's pressure from the owners, because the owners have lost so much money due to the pandemic, and unfortunately, because most of them are based in the U.S., and the country's handling of the pandemic has been, shall we say, on par of that with developing nations.
I think they've got it better than us, honestly.
Canada has done better than us, mostly, but they got their own issues.
Yeah.
Bruce Arthur on Twitter, and he's like, no, Canada's really not doing a whole lot better than the U.S. Like, don't believe the hype, guys.
Yeah. I think, I don't know, like, it sucks that this happened, like, one of the things about business in the NHL is that gate ticket sales are crucial to money. Like most NHL teams, most professional sports teams are going to operate at a loss. Like that's the simple fact of the matter. So what happens when people who are very good at making money start losing money for something that they wanted? Like this is just, I mean, kind of what happens, I feel like. It's, I mean, I don't know. It sucks.
It's hard to be sympathetic for at least this is what a lot of people have said. It's hard for them to feel sympathetic about millionaires and billionaires quibbling over money. And I get it from the player's perspective. And I mostly get it from the owner's perspective. They're all used to making money. And all of a sudden, that stopped for one reason or another. And well, the biggest reason, obviously, is the pandemic. And you cannot have indoor sporting events with people cheering and these becoming super spreader events. So I'm like, but still, it's kind of a real crappy situation that is, it's because these are people, like you said, who are used to making money. All of a sudden, they're not used to making money. And it's like, wait a minute, even though I'm still rich, what do you mean you want me to pay you? Like, you're personally wealthy. This is your company. Can you shell out some money for these employees? But the reality is, number one, they didn't get rich by just paying their employees. I mean, looking at you, Jeff Bezos. I'm sorry, it had to be said. I won't say it again. But number two, is it really their responsibility to pay for everybody because of the poor handling of the country's response to the pandemic? And then number three, it really does go beyond the 20 plus players who are on the ice. I mean, you have the trainers, you have the coaches, you have medical staff, you have the people in the arenas. Like, the Stars ownership, they took a pay cut, and even their GM took a pay cut in order to help out the people who were at American Airlines Center. But how long is that money going to last? You know, am I just rambling and babbling? And I don't even think I'm making sense in my own head anymore. I'm sorry. I'm going to stop talking.
No, you are making sense, because this is a complicated situation for everyone involved. And there's nothing. COVID has not made things easier on people. That's just the fact. And this is just a different example of that same point. I'm making it too generic.
I mean, at the end of the day, this is like, you know, again, not to get the political on this podcast, but like, welcome to capitalism. Like, none of these billionaires got rich, like you said, by like giving away their money. And so as much as I think any of us, rational people look at these guys with like billions of dollars of net worth, and we're like, well, you could just give up a little bit of it to keep these people employed, pay your players, whatever. Billionaires, there's a reason they're a billionaire, because they think that they should have all that money, and they're not going to want to give it to their players or their staffs or their whatever. And I mean, it's like a philosophical issue almost of, you know, should billionaires exist almost? Like, there's no easy solution to it. And I think that the players actually have a lot of leverage in whatever happens next, because the owners, I just feel like the players are the ones who could really hold this up and say like, maybe we just won't play then, you know.
Yeah.
Like at this point, what's even kind of left to lose if they just say no, we're not going to play this year because we can't come to an agreement about us getting our salaries or whatever? Like, this year's already screwed for so many guys. Like, You know, it's going to be interesting to see who blinks basically on this.
It's usually the players, which is kind of sad, but yeah. I mean, that's, if you ever read the book Cap in Hand, it mostly talks about abolishing the salary cap, which we could do an entire podcast on much later. So we won't get into that today, but it's interesting because he believes that Donald Fair is not a good PA union representative.
No, he's awful.
Yeah, he leader, stinks. Or
lawyer.
He's bad.
Yeah.
So, the best one they had was when they first established a union.
Ted Lindsay.
Yeah, this was pre Gretzky day. So I think this was happening in the 70s, I want to say. Because I think it was right after expansion. I can't quite remember all the details. But basically, I mean, he was talking about how that lawyer, who was a former baseball guy, he actually set up the greatest union, one of the strongest unions ever. And then all these people came around after that guy, and they just have slowly given away all of the union's negotiating power. And then yeah. Donald Fair is just sucky.
Yeah, he really does. And I don't know if it's, I mean, the NBA players have gotten so much more money. Their salary cap has increased so much with, you know, the television and advertising deals that they got. And I don't know how the NHL gets that. I mean, they try.
But, I mean,
yeah.
Here's the thing about basketball, though, and it hits on two equally critical things, in my opinion. One, it's ubiquity. You can play hoops with just one hoop. Like, you can play it with a couple of guys. You can play it by yourself. You can play it in a trash can, which is how the Lakers got their start. Not the Los Angeles Lakers, back when they were the Minnesota Lakers. But anyway, basically, you can play it indoors, outdoors. You don't need any special equipment except for a ball. And the rules can even be kind of whatever, flexible, however flexible, depending on your games and whoever's playing. Hockey is, and the second thing for that is that culturally, it speaks more to more people than hockey. Because hockey, as we all know, has a major race problem. And so, culturally, hockey is, like, first of all, hockey, you need so much special equipment. Even if you just got a puck, a stick, and a net, that's just, like, that's more than a basketball costs, you know? And then, like, and then the cultural thing, it's just... For so long, it's been the white people, and it's so hard to break through those barriers. It still turns a lot of people away. It's like, I don't want to watch a bunch of white dudes, like, hawking their spit on the ice or whatever. Like, I just feel like culturally, basketball is more aligned closely with celebrities and pop culture than hockey.
But we have Tom Hanks's child.
Yes, Colin Hanks is a very big fan, and Five for Fighting. I forgot his name.
John Androzic.
Thank you. John Androzic. Yes. That's actually where he got his name.
Yes.
His stage name, Five for Fighting. Because you get 5 minutes for fighting, obviously.
Yeah.
But I just feel like those two factors don't make hockey as popular. And so it's not going to ever reach the same audiences as basketball. That's just my opinion. I could be wrong.
I don't think you're that wrong. I mean, it's a more expensive sport to play. That's what it comes down to. And it's harder to get kids in America involved in it, especially in warmer climates where there's fewer resources for them to play it, in terms of, you know, ice time and things like that. I can't fix it, and I need you to stop asking me to fix it, Robin.
I'm sorry, Jay. I'll ask Sarah to start fixing it. Sarah, white girl, you're up.
Oh man.
I'm hungry.
I'm so busy. I have so much to do. I'll add it to the list.
We're obviously, we can't solve the NHL's problems. And I mean, we can stand with those and support those who are working to change that, like Black Girl Hockey Club and the new Alliance, Hockey Diversity Alliance thing. So those are things that we can get involved with and help to change the race and the culture aspects of it. But in terms of like Donald Sterling, obviously that's not our problem. The only problem is we kind of get, I feel like, because I said this back in 2004 when the last lockout happened, I was like, I don't feel like anybody in America really cares that there's a lockout happening. They're not going to miss hockey.
I did. I missed hockey.
Well, what about you, Sarah? Did you miss hockey?
That was a period in my life where I was pretending that sports weren't for girls. So at that time, I didn't. The most context I had for sports at that time was like my mom's calling me and being like, "Did you see the new boy that the Penguins just drafted?" And me going, "Oh, tell me more." So I didn't have particular feelings. There was a whole period of time where my relationship with sports was basically just like my parents talking at me. And then I realized that I could like sports too.
Yay, sports are for girls.
Yeah.
All right, so aiming for a January 1st start date. Let's hope it happens. Do you think that we will get that All-Canada division?
I hope
so. I think we have to. I think there's no way. They're not going to relocate all the Canadian teams to the United States.
Aw.
Right. Canada seems pretty intent on, you know, they just told the Raptors that they have to go. They can't. The Raptors are temporarily playing in Florida this season because the Canadian government won't let them and other teams come in and out of Canada for good reason. So I think that that's the only way it's going to work is you have to have the Canadian teams all play each other because no, they can't. I mean, I feel like the United States would probably let them in, but Canada would be like, yeah, no.
Yeah.
Canada's like, you cross that border, you're not coming back.
I mean, I just want it. Like, I give me like a weekend series, like the old AHL schedule where it's just like Calgary and Edmonton playing three games mm-hmm. in 3 days mm-hmm. like just get these guys all riled up, get them to hate each other, get them to explode by game three into fists and fury, and then okay, now you guys don't see each other for a while.
Like, that is the rumor that they're thinking about doing it like baseball style.
Oh, I love it so much. Like it just give me multiple days of Habs and Leafs. Like, just watch them go after each other.
God.
Like, I mean, yes. Give me this division. Like, I mean, I have no idea how all the U.S. divisions shake out eventually. I mean, I know they have an idea. It's all going to be geographic and everything, and you know, we'll see a lot of Kings Ducks and Kings Sharks, and it'll all be mediocre hockey at the NHL level, and we'll watch it regardless. But yeah, like yes, give me that all Canadian division.
I would just like to interject really quick that Steven Stamkos tweeted earlier about the Raptors, said, "We the South."
Stammer. That's a good tweet. Good for you, Stanley Cup champ. You need to win.
The Tampa Bay Stanley Cup champions. Oh my God. The people, like the old hockey men, the old traditionalists, they just, their brains melted. They're like, whatever. It's an asterisk year anyway. Okay. Whatever. Still champions in my book.
Every other, I mean, more teams than usual had the chance to be that champion. So,
yeah.
Yeah, I don't.
And the
don't,
Oilers didn't even make it.
Neither did the Leafs. Thank goodness.
Well, the Leafs made the playoffs.
No, they made the play-ins. They lost to Columbus.
Oh, that's right. Oh, yeah, because the first round was, again, Tampa and Columbus.
Yep. With the super 8-period game.
Yes.
Yes. Right. Yeah. I need more of those 8-period games injected into my veins.
Ooh, I mean, that's pretty time-consuming. I don't know if I have that kind of schedule.
Well, maybe not you. Maybe Sarah. Oh. Sarah, make room for me in your schedule.
We'll see. I'll see what I can do. I mean, the good thing about that game was that it started in the middle of the day. That's so true. Like, I did end up watching most of it just because there was not like what else was I going to do?
Mm-hmm. I know. I think it started at like 12 o'clock or something my time. And it lasted until 6 or 7 o'clock at night. It was so long. But it was so good. I loved it.
It was fun. Yeah. Speaking of brutal, that's my hunger pangs.
Yeah, mine too.
Yeah.
Well,
we need food.
Thank you guys for this nearly 2-hour podcast.
Yep. I hope you marked where I said what Frank McCourt could eat.
1 hour and 40 minutes. Okay. Sarah, thank you for putting up with James's nonsense and mine.
Anytime.
I don't know when we will be back with another podcast, but I was like, hockey content. Yay. Let's talk about these reverse retro jerseys, which I think we can all agree, or at least we have come to an agreement that the three of us, the Kings jerseys are pretty good.
Yes.
Yep.
Sarah, James, thank you once again for joining me. Everyone else, have a great day, night, evening, whenever you're listening to this. And thanks for being a listener.